New York, center of the markets universe. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. There is an updated list of top financial capitals called the Global Financial Centers Index, and there's news that New York has just jumped past London for number one. Britain's sometimes tenuous relationship with the European Union is apparently holding it back, as well as financial scandals such as collusion over a key interest rate fixed in London. As for New York's supremacy, there's this. Alibaba of China is like an overseas Amazon, connecting buyers and sellers, importers and exporters, has now confirmed it's taking steps to go public in New York. This means it would ditch its home stock exchange of Hong Kong. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
In the fairy tale, Alibaba found a pile of treasure. In the stock market, Alibaba is the pile of treasure, and every exchange in the world would like a piece. But where to settle? For Alibaba, it came down to power.
Hong Kong was rejected for New York in part because the leadership at Alibaba wants to have control.
Max Wolf is chief economist with Citizen VC. It's a venture capital advisory firm. Here's the thing. When you sell shares of your company, you're selling control over your company. Every share equals one vote on things like whether to fire you. So some companies like to rig the vote from the get-go.
You can attach, say, 10 times the voting weight to some shares versus others.
As in, they save special shares for themselves with super voting rights.
And that way, even if I only owned, 5.1% of the shares, I might actually have 51% voting rights.
One small problem, in Hong Kong, you're not allowed to do that. But in New York, you can. So for Alibaba, the decision to go public here looks like a no-brainer. But there's more to it than just power.
You have somewhat akin to a sports team playing at home.
Scott Kessler is an analyst with S&P Capital IQ.
You want to take these really important steps close to home in your local market.
On the other hand, listing abroad, especially in New York, can be prestigious. Bai Ling Yin is at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research, and she says where companies list can send a message.
We are good enough in our practices that we can withstand the scrutiny of being on a more developed and a more rigorous exchange with higher standards.
Scott Kessler says many Chinese companies in particular have been going direct to the U.S. stock markets in recent years. Fundamentally, he says,
the U.S. still is the place to be when it comes to technology companies, internet companies.
And of course, when you're trying to raise upwards of $150 billion, it helps to be where the most investors are. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.4%. The DAX in Frankfurt is up 0.6%. After the controversial plebiscite in the Crimean region to join Russia, the key index on the Moscow exchange is up 2.3% right now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. It's emerged that Apple really does have, from its perspective, a handy tax situation in Ireland. Apple has been on the hot seat over the last year about not paying much tax anywhere on its overseas profit. If new documents that emerged in Australia, of all places, paint an accurate picture, Apple is paying 2% on profits in Ireland, where other companies would pay more than 12%. There's nothing illegal alleged. Dermot Fleming files for the BBC from Dublin. Morning, Dermot.
Good morning, David.
So if this interpretation of official documents filed in Australia is accurate, Apple has quite a sweet deal for its taxes in Ireland.
Companies based in Ireland should pay a corporation tax of 12.5%, but Apple have said to a US Senate subcommittee before that they had a special deal in Ireland to pay taxes that were much lower. Now, the Irish government denies this, but these latest figures, which emerged from Australia, show that on profits of about $11 billion, which were made over 5 years, there was a tax rate paid of less than 1%. Now, what the Irish authorities are saying is that these are profits that are blended, if you like, from all sorts of operations all around the world, and that therefore the Irish tax rate doesn't apply.
Many Americans are this time of year working on their own personal taxes, so they will appreciate that Apple might have owed $890 million in taxes over the years to Ireland. But instead, if these Australian documents are accurate, instead it paid $36 million. That does sound like an advantageous situation.
Yes, I mean, how it all works is that there's a company based in Ireland called Apple Sales International, and they're based in Ireland, but they're not tax registered anywhere. So all the profit is channeled towards Apple Sales International based in Ireland, which then finds a way of minimizing its tax. So that seems to be how this works.
Now, this makes plenty of sense if you're Apple computer, but it may make less sense for Ireland, which perhaps needs some of this money. Dermot, what has the reaction been to this story in Ireland?
The government sees the location of huge multinationals like Apple, Facebook, Google as vital to Ireland's economy and employment. So they're very kind of reluctant to criticise any of these big companies. But they're coming under pressure from the US as well, because the US Senate subcommittee last year was very critical of Ireland. That makes it difficult for the Irish authorities to say that there isn't some sort of arrangement that suits the companies and nobody else.
Dermot Fleming files for the BBC from Dublin. Dermot, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
To you too, Dermot. CEOs at some big companies got smaller raises last year. Reuters has been plowing through regulatory filings for nearly 50 companies in the S&P 500. The typical jump in compensation for 2013 was 1% compared to 15% the year before. It's 1% of a big number. The typical or median compensation package for CEOs at those companies rose to $8.6 million in 2013. Now, this is an early glimpse at executive compensation for the year just passed, and other trends may emerge as data on more companies comes out. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.